Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, if you're new to our show, welcome. You can follow us also on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, all of the different places. We are a radio show and podcast for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage. And if God is building your family in a unique way, we want to be with you through that process. We know it's brutal. That was our story. And we know that God is your rock and He's enough and He can carry you through.
That's right. So that was a really good introduction for what we're going to be talking about today. And I think our special guest on today, she didn't expect anything of what they were going to walk through. Mm-hmm. And so if you're watching, you can see we have someone in studio with us today, Leanna Reeder, a new friend of mine.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
For sure. I was told by another good friend of Hannah's Heart, probably a year ago, she's like, you just have to have her on. Like, you have to have her on. She's
she
got not infertility, snowflake adoption, foster care adoption, all the things. So many things, you know, that y'all have walked through that we have talked about all of those on our show. And so, which it's a funny thing, but we all know, you know, there's tears behind all of those decisions and things that we walk through. So I appreciate you being willing to share your story. I know that God's going to use whoever listens to this is going to be able to use your story to encourage them to either be willing to walk through what you've been walking through or maybe on how to be there for someone else who's walking through that.
Right. And that's what I've always, you know, just ask God just to help me be ready when it's a time to tell that story. So yeah. That's why I'm here today.
Welcome. Get some practice in.
Yes.
Okay, so just let's just start with like you telling us about your husband and your kiddos right now, and then we'll get into how you came to have those kiddos.
Okay. So I'm married to Matthew Reeder. We went to college together, or college sweethearts. Uh-huh. At Blue Mountain, was Blue Mountain College, now Blue Mountain Christian University. Mm-hmm. We've been married for 14 years. That sounds like a grown-up that has their life together, but it doesn't always feel like 14 years. That's a lot of life.
It is.
So, yeah, he is a math teacher and a high school soccer coach, and I'm a teacher as well. And we have 4 children. Isaac is 11. Emmy is 9, Willa Kate is 8. We just had birthday, so I had to do that calculation as well. And Kobe is 4. And so that's our family.
That's our family. And it might not look the way that you pictured your family was going to look.
Definitely does not. All 4 of our children are adopted through foster care. Okay. And so they are African American. And our family looks a lot different. But that's what makes our story very unique.
Yeah, and beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Do you mind just going in and telling us, like, obviously adoption probably wasn't like you're like, yes, I'm going to adopt as soon as I get married. We're going to adopt. You know, you don't kind of go into marriage usually thinking that. So what was y'all's thoughts at first?
So we started, we wanted a big family. Mm-hmm. I wanted lots of children. And so we tried to conceive naturally and dealt with infertility. We went to doctors and specialists, and there was just no medical explanation behind it, which was really, really hard.
Creating the unexplained infertility label is like, yes, makes you want to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah. Yes. How in today's time do we have unexplained anything?
Right. You know? Yeah, right, right. And I wanted something to like blame it on. I wanted like, this is what we're going to do to fix it, you know, and there was nothing. And I would love to say that Matthew and I were like, okay, then we'll just adopt, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you for closing that door for us, yeah, you know. Yeah. But that entered a very dark season of just loneliness, bitterness towards God. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of mad.
You're both teachers, so you're around kids constantly.
Yes, all the time. Yes.
That had to be an extra reminder.
Yes, and you're seeing all your friends have babies. And it's like, that was about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so even 12 years ago, this sort of thing wasn't a thing.
No. People were not talking about it.
No, and so it was very isolating. I'm thankful for things like that now that women have this mm-hmm. today to talk about it openly, because it wasn't a thing that back then. And so we just kind of sat in that for a while, and I was pretty mad at God and went through a really, really dark time and months of that. And then just kind of life just kind of happened. And I guess, you know, we kind of thought we would just get pregnant. You know, mm-hmm. they say, oh, if you just stop worrying about it, you know, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
And so we kind of, in the back of our minds, thought that that would happen, but it didn't. And so that was like in the fall. And then so in the spring, we're still kind of praying for a baby, hoping for a baby. And one night we were sleeping. Well, Matthew was sleeping, and we didn't have to go to school the next day. And so I was watching Netflix. I was watching Parenthood.
Okay.
The main character on there, one of the main characters, they became foster parents. Mm. And I just kind of was like, And I'd never really had that idea. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing, you know, my best Google.
How long have you been married at this point?
3 years.
Okay.
4 years.
All right.
And so I just started Googling and researching. Matthew's asleep, which never happens. I'm usually the one that's dead asleep, and he's usually wide awake. And so I'm researching, and I just, like, have this peace that passes over me. Like, God, I think this is what we're supposed to do.
Wow.
And so I, like, put the iPad up, which is more peace than I've felt in a very, very, very long time. And I go to sleep, and we wake up the next morning, and Matthew wakes up, and I'm like, I think I know what we're going to do. And he's like, okay.
What?
We're going to be foster parents. And he's like, okay, where did you know? And so, like, I go down the whole rabbit hole with him, like, show him all the things. And so he's like, well, let's call my mom, because she's a school nurse and she has lots of, you know, contacts in that area. And so we call her, and she was like, well, I was actually going to mention that to y'all, but I was just waiting for the right time.
Wow.
And so she's like, let's call this guy. He's like the head of this certain county that I know really well. And so we were out of school that day, and he's like, well, why don't you just come in and sit down, and we'll just talk about it. And so we go in, and he's telling us all the things that we have to do to get licensed. And we're like, okay, that sounds reasonable. Okay. And he's like, well, actually, you have to go through these classes. And they are usually in other counties, like far off, he said. But this month, they're going to be right in Lee County where you are.
Oh.
And so we're like, okay, God.
Open door.
And so we're like, well, sign us up. And so, like, a few weeks later, we were in classes. And then by the summer, we were licensed to be foster parents.
That's fast. Wow.
Yeah.
Very fast for foster care.
Yes. And it was just like the minute we said that first yes, just God just opened door after door after door.
So when you're struggling with infertility, you're thinking a baby's coming. But now with foster care, did you and your husband make decisions about, like, younger children, older children?
Yeah, so we told the social worker we would love a baby. Mm-hmm. But they told us, you know, like, that just doesn't happen a lot. Back then, I think the process has changed a lot. But we told them we just wanted to foster to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
So more so children who were already kind of in that process of being eligible to be adopted. So they're like, well, that just babies just don't normally. It's just not
that category.
Right. And wow. So they're like, maybe a toddler. Mm-hmm. So that's what we kind of prepared the room for. And so we got licensed at the beginning of the summer. So all that was like a rush. And then we just kind of waited and we waited and we waited, and we got phone calls and we never heard back. And so we were teachers. And so, like, 2 weeks before school started, got a phone call about a baby.
Wow. Okay.
And so they're like, well, his plan has been changed to adoption. He's been with an older foster mom, but she... when he's now eligible to be adopted, she realizes, like, she can't adopt him. She wants a younger couple to be able to raise him. So Would you be interested?
Wow.
And so we're like, okay. And they're like, we're going to have court in 2 weeks. So it's going to be 2 weeks before you can meet him, and we can, you know, he can come into your home. We're like, okay, well, that's great, because now we have to get a baby room ready. So we spent the next 2 weeks redoing the room with the crib and all of those things. And so in 2 weeks we went and we met our son. And yeah, our life has never been the same.
And how long did his adoption take? Because that was quicker than, since it wasn't just foster care.
Right. So his adoption took about 6 months for the wait and all that. During that time, we had some family members of his that kind of showed back up. They lived in another state. And so we got to meet them and got to kind of talk about what did it look like for us to kind of be a part of each other's lives. And so we did all that. And then in the spring, he was officially ours.
Now, go back. I know you said you had struggled with some like anger towards God initially when you found out about infertility and all that. Where in the process did you and God kind of like meet up?
Settle up.
Was
a little
it a long process of slowly him getting you there, or was it before you even started fostering? When did you feel, I know you said you felt peace, but when did you feel that kind of anger release?
I feel like when Isaac came into our home,
really?
And I could see, you know, okay, God, this was your plan.
You saw his goodness.
Yes. And this is my baby. Like, you know, like it just took all of that away. It made sense, you know, like I was not seeing the big picture when I was in my bitterness towards God, you know, but he knew that Isaac was out there. And that summer we were still waiting, like we thought we heard clearly, and then we're waiting and waiting. I was still like, okay, God, what's going on here? Like, you rushed all this for me to just sit here, you know, waiting by the phone. But when Isaac came into our home, it was just a piece.
Did you name him Isaac? Was he named
Isaac? He was not named Isaac.
Okay.
He had a different name. That was the name we had picked out.
Wow.
A
child of promise, huh?
Child of promise and a child of laughter. Wow. He truly lives up to his name now. And he'll remind me of that, like when he's making me, he's like, Mom, my name means laughter. Like, I gotta make it laugh.
Because he's a how old now?
He's 11.
That is wild. My goodness.
So,
well, thankful for Isaac.
Thankful for Isaac and his story.
That's not where your fostering story ended, though.
No.
Definitely you actually, not. Like, I know I'm skipping lots of time here, but you just now got out of foster care like a few months ago.
Yes. So November ended 10 years in foster
That's
care.
That's a very long time.
It is indeed.
It is.
Because the plan was to have a full big family, right?
It was.
So Isaac's here, and now you're like, okay, this is great, God.
So it, and that kind of like figuring all that out, parenting, and we just kind of enjoyed that and just kind of relaxed in that and just kind of took a break for a little while from just, you know, fostering, and enjoyed Isaac. And then about a year later, we decided that we wanted to expand our family, however that looked. We had two temporary placements for a little while, and it was like a crazy emergency yes that we said, kind of two siblings that were the same, one of them was the same age as Isaac, and it was just a lot. And so we were kind of questioning, like, okay, God, like, is this really what you've called us to again? And so we were kind of in the middle of that, and we got a phone call, and because we were kind of resting from the other two siblings, I, you know, kind of told my husband, you know, I don't know if we can do this again. And so he gets a phone call, and I don't even know why they called his phone, but because they usually call mine. But he gets a phone call, and I hear him in there, and he's like, "Oh yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think that'd be a good fit or something like that." And I like stick my head in the door, and I'm like, "What was that?" He's like, "Oh, it was a newborn baby girl." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "We just talked about this. We were just trying to recover from the last two that left. Like, what? Why? Why? What are you? What? What?" I was like,
call them back
right now. And he was like, "Oh, you call them." And I was like, "Okay, I will." And so I called, and it was a newborn African American girl that was in the hospital, like just been born.
Whoa.
And they were like, she's coming home tomorrow and we need somewhere for her to go.
I mean,
like,
how old was Isaac when you got him the first day?
He was about 8 months.
Okay. So this is like day one now.
Newborn.
Okay, so a new phase for you all.
Yes. Okay. And so, I mean, like, how can you say no to a newborn that's coming home from the hospital?
You
can't. You cannot. You cannot.
Got that fresh baby smell still on them, huh?
And so the next day, so I'm like, you know, of course, like you said, we've never done a newborn, so I didn't even know what that, I was just like texting all my friends, like, I don't know what I need, but you know what I need, so bring it right now, like, we're having a baby tomorrow. And so she came the next day, and she was the most beautiful baby I'd ever laid eyes on, and we figured out the newborn stage.
And that was
you
how
figured
it was
out together.
A little over a year later from Isaac's adoption. Okay, wow.
Yeah, a little over a year.
Wow.
And so we were a family of four, and her situation was they didn't know what was going to happen. Her parents just didn't have the capability of taking care of her in the hospital, and the nurses realized that. And so they didn't know if there was family members that, you know, could potentially end up taking her or what. So we just said the craziest yes. We just had faith that this is what God needed us to do in that moment. Just a peace that, you know, it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
No matter what the ending was, it was going to be okay. And so that was, we called her baby girl for the first few years of her life because we didn't know. And she got to stay with us. And then a year later, her sister came, her biological sister came.
What did you end up naming her?
Emmy.
Emmy, okay.
Emmy. She was Emmy. And so that was a lot of twists and turns with visits and family members and them calling and saying this aunt or this grandmother, you know, might come. We might go to court next week. We don't know what the judge is going to say. And so I'm just, you know.
Do you mind describing, like, those feelings when you get that kind of phone call? Like, because you're in love with this baby girl and you know what's at stake if that family member does come, you know, out of the woodwork and, you know, files paperwork like they need to. And what does that feel like?
Just, I can't even, really helpless, you know, and just like that grew my faith like no other.
Yeah.
Just continuing to pray and trust and say, God, you love this baby way more than I do, even though I can't imagine that. And you have a perfect plan. And I've had to tell myself, God, you are the same God that led Isaac stay with us, that, you know, saw that this was what was best for him. And you are going to be the same God that does what's best for Emmy, no matter what the ending looks like.
Right.
Even if I'm not okay with what the ending looks like, you are the same God. And even though I'm not okay with that sometimes, you know, what that might look like, I trust you. And so just lots of prayer and lots of just rocking at night and being like, this might be the last time I rock, you know?
I had those same feelings.
And and I can't do anything about it. And, you know, and this is the life God called me to, and I'm trying to be obedient, but gosh, it's hard sometimes. It's really hard.
It's crazy when you feel hopeless, helpless, how much you end up depending on the Lord
during
that time, because there's really nothing else that you can do. I can't. So many times those phone calls would happen, or like, hey, he'll need to be here by Saturday at 9 o'clock, you know, and you don't have any control over what's going to happen Saturday at 9 o'clock, but you love this baby with your whole heart, you know. I can't tell you how many times I just bowed to my knees and was like, okay, God, like, what you just said, he's yours already. And so I just pray, you know, for whatever is best for him, which as a mama heart that you can't help but have is a scary thing to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would not be the Christian that I am today had not gone through those 10 years. That journey grew my faith like no other. And I can stand on the other side of it now, saying that I'm thankful for it in the thick of it. There were some days I was like, God,
I think I'm done.
This is a lot here. But yeah. definitely grew my faith and am thankful for it.
Where'd you get the name Emmy?
It's like a family name, but it just kind of happened. And it fits her, you know? So,
And so you ended up, you said, finding out that she had a sibling later. Was her adoption finalized the sibling?
So no, her adoption was not finalized. Okay. So we knew that the biological mom was pregnant, and she, they went to a different county. Mm-hmm. So maybe they could keep the baby. Mm-hmm. And they called me and they were like, she's pregnant again. Would you be willing to take the sister, you know? Mm. And so I had took a maternity leave with Emmy because it was towards the end of the school year. And I was like, yes, of course, but I don't have any more days. Mm. And we'll have to figure it out. Like, I don't know what that looks like for her. Cause they're like a year and 9 days apart. So she was going to be born the next April.
Wow.
Yes. And so, I was like, let's talk this out. Let's figure this out. Well, sometimes communication in foster care is not the best. And so I didn't really hear anything else. And then all of a sudden we knew that she had been born.
Wow.
And they had gone to a different county. So a different county had taken her into custody and placed her with another family. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of
It wasn't just automatic because there's a sibling?
Didn't realize that Emmy, that there was a case open.
So she was in a different county.
She was in a different county, in a different hospital.
That's why someone would do that. It's not in a different county. So they don't basically get caught because they already have a child in custody.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
And so by the time they figured all of that out, she was placed with another family. And so they called me and they were like, do you still... No, I'm like, yes, this is our biological sister. How sweet for them to have each other. And so it was about 3 months before paperwork and all of that could get finalized for her to come and live with us. And so when she was 3 months old, Willa Kate came to live with us. And so we had... a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a newborn.
Oh, my word. I'm
That's
stressed
when you know God
it.
Has a sense of humor.
And I don't remember much about that time in my life. Like, there's pictures of me from that time period. I'm like, if you say so, if I was there, I really don't remember that much. Yeah. I don't remember it. It was loud and chaotic and crazy, but, you know... wanted that big family and nothing like I thought it was going to be. But here we are with three little ones. And so their story still went on with relatives and parents and all of appointments and judges and all of those twists and turns. And so one adoption was final in 2020. So that was about 3 years after Emmy was born. Hers was final. And then the second Willa Kate's adoption was appealed. The rights were appealed. So we were sent to the Mississippi Court of Appeals. And so that lasted for about a year and a half. So a whole nother year and a half of waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally hers was finalized.
So. I can't imagine the relief
such a relief.
I don't have to wait for that phone call. Of that.
Or just, you know, and they were like, well, it's probably going to go through. Like, you know, there's not really anything. I was like, yeah, but like, there's still like that in the back of your mind, you know, like there's still that. And, you know, just praying God, like, please, your will be done. But this is what I would do if I were you, you know.
Just like, an idea.
It's just a thought here. You know, but we learned later that there was a plan in that waiting and in that time period, because our story
isn't over yet.
Well, that's a good segue.
It wasn't done yet.
We're almost out of time.
She saw the 2-minute mark.
Yeah. I was like,
you did perfect.
Yeah. I'm getting it here. I'm trying.
There will be a part two.
There will be a part two. That's right. But I think that's so good and beautiful, and just shows you, yeah, that God does love those kids more than we ever could. And our biological, adopted, however, you know, they're our kids, but that He does have a plan that's good and beautiful for them. And we just got to be willing to say yes.
Yes. And His timing.
And His timing. That's,
you know,
right.
His timing.
Like we said, there's a part two coming up next week. So you got to come back and listen to how the fourth kiddo came along. And then I think we might have some advice and just encouragement for other foster families that are possibly walking through what Leanna is already on the other side of now. Mm-hmm. So please come back next week and give us a listen.